Welcome to Observer Radio News. I am Aaron Niles, here with David Draper and Josh Jenneroux, and we have a special for you today as we're going to be talking about hockey. Now, last night, the Leafs disappointed in a game against the New York Islanders as they lost 5-3. The loss means that Toronto will have to wait until Saturday before having a chance to clinch their spot in the playoffs. Now, this is a game that's important for playoff seeding for both teams, as Ottawa is trailing Toronto by 1 point. A win by the Maple Leafs combined with a loss by Winnipeg Jets will eliminate the Jets and clinch the playoffs for the Maple Leafs. Now, playoff games come playoff revenues and, of course, playoff bettings. People from all over Toronto made their case either for or against the casino proposition in front of the executive committee Monday and Tuesday. Toronto's Observer Dylan Hales has the details.
The long 2 days at City Hall, from Monday morning to Tuesday afternoon, residents, as well as various representatives of labor groups, swarmed to the committee room to share their opinions on the casino. Toronto's executive committee, consisting of Mayor Rob Ford, Deputy Mayor Doug Holliday, and Councillors Norman Kelly, Denzel Minnan-Wong, and Frank DiGiorgio, among others, sat through over 200 different speakers from all parts of Toronto, who came to submit their thoughts directly to the politicians. Sitting on the committee as guest councillors were Mike Layton and Adam Vaughan. Councillor Layton is an adamant opponent of the casino. He says that the mayor's information is incorrect and that he is ignoring many key factors that the opposition is referencing.
Well, Mayor Ford in his letter also ignores all of the facts of the costs of casinos. He doesn't mention or even allude to the addiction issues that even economists write about have serious costs on a society. The bankruptcies, which have massive costs in the city. The suicide rates, all of these things that actually cost the city money and services, he just disregards completely, doesn't even mention them.
Layton also suggests that Mayor Ford's estimation of the city getting $150 million in hosting fees is wrong, and that the city will not get any sort of special deal. Instead, Councillor Layton says that the city would get closer to $20 million. Many people in the no casino crowd claim that a casino would increase crime rates, but according to Councillor Doug Holliday, that may not be true either. He refers to the Woodbine Horse Track where people can go to gamble.
The police are satisfied that it's not contributing to the crime rate, or there's no more crime there than there would be anywhere else, and that it's not a difficulty from a crime standpoint from their point of view.
Holliday warns people on both sides of the issue to wait until they have heard all of the facts to make their decision. After much deliberation, the executive committee voted 9-4 in favor of allowing a casino to open in downtown Toronto. The final decision rests with City Council at the next meeting, but the casino supporters are optimistic. Dylan Hiles, Toronto Observer.
Now, David and Josh, assuming the Toronto Maple Leafs make the playoffs, who do you want to see them face in the first round and why?
Fifth place, I mean, they could shift either way because Ottawa's only 1 point behind them. But, you know, the way it's looking right now, as long as they stay in fifth, it could be either Montreal or Boston, which, you know, two tough teams you'd want to avoid. If they happen to go into sixth and Ottawa goes ahead of them, hey, well, Washington might be a little easier for them. So I'd like to see them play the Washington Capitals. Josh?
Personally, I think if they play the Washington Capitals that they would lose because Alexander Ovechkin is clutch, you know. That's all he is. He's clutch. He's a, you know, clutch player, and he steps up in big moments. And there's no one on the Leafs roster that has ever stepped up in a bigger moment because they haven't made the playoffs in 8 years. If they play the Canadiens, that's just the original rivalry. So, you know, it's history, basically. If they play Boston, there's no better place to exact revenge for all the regular season beatings that they've taken against Boston than in the playoffs. You know, that's the sweetest revenge. So, personally, I'd like them to play Boston. That's just me.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned Montreal versus Toronto, because for me, that's what I want to see. Not only is the original six rivalry, but Toronto so far has beaten Montreal 3 times of the 4 times they've played. And in the playoffs, it's about being physical, having a tough team, and the Maple Leafs fit that bill. Whereas Montreal is a finesse team, and I think in a 7-game series, Toronto can actually beat them and manhandle them. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Toronto's had Montreal's number all year at home. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a matchup thing. Carey Price playing at the Air Canada Center, I'm not sure what it is. But if Toronto can take on the Montreal Canadiens in the playoffs, I'd have to give it the advantage of Toronto. They just had their number all year. I mean, right, Josh? Like, what kind of firepower is Montreal going to bring in the playoffs?
They don't really have that much firepower. Like, besides PK Subban, you know, not a lot of players have stepped up for them this year. And I'm looking at this series, if it does happen, not even of what if, just the excitement around both cities and, you know, the buzz that's going to be around Toronto and Montreal, you know, not the rioting in the streets. I don't want to say that, you know, I don't want to encourage rioting, but, you know, you can cut the tension with a knife, basically. So whatever happens, happens. So.
And, I mean, as it stands right now, Boston's in fourth place and Toronto's in fifth with Montreal in second. But that can all change. But what I actually want to see is Toronto move down to seventh place, face Montreal as a second seed. That way, if they do beat Montreal, which I think they can, they might have a chance to face the third seed in Washington, which I also think they might have a better chance than if they're facing a Pittsburgh or a Boston.
Both are tough matchups. You look at Pittsburgh with all the additions they added in by the trade deadline. Morrow, Aginla, still waiting on Malkin and Crosby to come back. That team's built for the playoffs and the Stanley Cup. So facing that team's a juggernaut. And Toronto would probably do well avoiding the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs.
Well, in a sense, if they play Pittsburgh and still lose but show a good fight, that shows resolve. And, you know, you can build off that for next season. I'd like to see them play Pittsburgh, because if they do play Pittsburgh and, God forbid, they win the series, it'll, you know, show that James Reimer is, you know, a number one goalie, and we can stop all these questions of, oh, let's get Roberto Luongo, or let's, you know, try and trade for Mika Kiprusoff, you know. So,
I mean, we've talked about the Maple Leafs, but now I think we should talk about some of the other teams. Like, what matchups do you guys want to see in the first round? Like, which ones will be the best?
For the most part, the NHL playoff picture seems to be very much up in the air. Both conferences still have teams fighting to stay alive to make the playoffs, and there are still teams deciding positioning. As the season winds down, the playoff picture looks like this. Looking at the Eastern Conference, Pittsburgh seems to have first place all but locked up. Following them are the Habs and the Capitals as your divisional leaders, and the Bruins are in fourth. The Leafs are in fifth, with the Senators only 1 point behind them in sixth, and the Islanders and Rangers round off the top eight. Winnipeg is still alive with 46 points. The Chicago Blackhawks have clinched the Western Conference with a league-high 70 points and 33 wins. Anaheim and Vancouver are second and third, respectively. Other teams in the top eight are LA, San Jose, St. Louis, Minnesota, with Columbus, Detroit, and Dallas all battling it out for that eighth and final playoff spot. Gentlemen, how do you see the East and West shaping up for playoff pictures?
Well, I don't see Winnipeg actually making it in the playoffs, unfortunately. I think the New York Rangers are a much better team. They have Lundqvist as a goalie, and I don't think the Islanders are going to fall off. I think they're a legit team, which they proved that by beating the Leafs. In the Western Conference, I find it's very interesting, because you got Columbus, Dallas, and Detroit all fighting for the last spot. And, I mean, you got Detroit, the veteran team, but I actually think they're not going to make the playoffs. I think they're very old, and they need to rebuild. So I think Columbus, with the trade to New York to get Gabrick, I think they have enough firepower to make the playoffs to be the first-round fodder for Chicago, if you will.
Personally, I don't think Columbus will make the playoffs, because think about it. It's Columbus, you know. They have a history of being terrible, and, you know, when it gets down to crunch time, I don't think they have anyone on their roster besides Marian Gabrick, who has a backbone on their team. So my pick to make the eighth spot would have to be Dallas, just because, you know, they have, you know, Ben, who's a veteran. They have a few veteran players, and they've won a few cups in the past. So, you know, they know what to do in the playoffs, you know.
A couple quick spitball questions here. Can we see Winnipeg only behind Washington for 4 points? Can we see them catching Washington for that division, the Southeast?
I don't think so. Four games remaining, there's only 8 points up in the air. So to get that, they'd have to win all four games and hope Washington loses two of their games. And I don't see that happening. Washington's a much better team, and I don't see Winnipeg winning all four. Their best chance at this point is to hope the Rangers or Islanders falter and then grab that eighth spot.
Personally, I agree with you, Aaron, but I honestly do think Winnipeg can make the playoffs because Andrei Pavlik is just that good. And, you know, they have certain players, like all these other teams that are in the playoffs do, that have that killer gene in them, like that clutch, you know, I'm not giving up to the last moment gene. Like, you know, Bufflin, he doesn't quit. When he was on Atlanta, you know, he basically rode that team almost to the playoffs as well. So, in a sense, as long as they're still in it, they can make it.
And very quickly now, guys, eighth spot in the West, Columbus, Detroit, or Dallas?
Well, I said I think it'll be Columbus. Dallas has a brutal schedule remaining, and in Detroit, it's just not their year. I think Columbus is a young, up-and-coming team, and with the addition of Gabrick, they have the firepower now to actually make it into playoffs.
I think Dallas will make playoffs. Disregarding their schedule, they have veteran players that, you know when it's game time. They know how to turn that switch on, you know, and they're fighting for their lives. I think Columbus, they don't even have fan support in Columbus. So, in a sense, really, they have no one backing them. Yeah, fans are going to come to the game because they're close to making the playoffs. But throughout the years, there have been barely any Columbus Blue Jackets fans. So, like, when you have a whole city behind you, like Dallas does, you can't lose. So if I was a betting man, I'd bet on Dallas.
We all know the playoffs is what the teams go into the playoffs trying to win the Stanley Cup. And the East York Hockey Association hosted the Little Stanley Cup Day Parade on Saturday, March 23rd. Local councilors and politicians, as well as hundreds of parents and fans, joined the celebrations. Hassan Zahid of Observer Radio News reports.
The atmosphere was tense at East York Memorial Arena as hockey players and spectators awaited the packed door for the final game of the season in the PUA division. It was a matchup between Detroit and Montreal. It was a one-sided game. The Red Wings earned a 3-0 comprehensive victory. Later, the winning PV team was presented with the Stanley Cup replica. They celebrated by skating a few laps with the trophy. The school hockey teams, which consisted of the kids of different age groups, played for their respective teams. It's an actual 3-foot replica of the NHL Stanley Cup, with the only one replica in existence. Marcia Bertin came to East York Memorial Arena to see her son's performance. Her son Ethan is in grade 1. He plays for Team Toronto.
We're very excited. Ethan has been working very hard at the hockey school all season, and he's improved greatly with his hockey skills, and he's very excited to have a chance to play a real game.
The president of the East York Hockey Association, Art Kennedy, says, "The Little Stanley Cup started in 1954 and has been given out to the PUA winner every year. In fact, it was an event for the hockey school volunteers, instructors, parents, and students, an annual occasion to promote young players for making the future hockey stars."
The Little Stanley Cup started in 1954 and has been given out to the PUA winners every year. Usually it's just known within the organization itself, although a few years ago when they had the strike and they had no hockey, we became very popular and it was all over the pages of every paper in Toronto.
The PUA division convener Connie Mitchell mentioned that the East York Hockey Association was given authority to play for the Little Stanley Cup in the 1954-55 seasons, directly from Clarence Campbell, who was president of the NHL at that time.
This is the culmination of a year's worth of House League hockey here at East York Memorial Arena for the East York Bulldog Hockey Association. Mm-hmm. We've been around for more than 60 years. Mm-hmm. The kids play a full season starting in October and ending in March, and today's our final day where all the championship teams get to play for a trophy. Every team has a different trophy. Our Pee-wee division, which is 11 and 12 year olds, they play for the Little Stanley Cup, which is an official official replica of the NHL Stanley Cup. It was authorized to us by Clarence Campbell, and every year those kids get to play for that.
The little Stanley Cup event marked the last day of House League hockey for the East York Hockey Association. Hassan, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Teams are trying to get into the playoffs. What are the teams that aren't going to make the playoffs in June are vying for draft picks? So, Josh, who do you see in that draft coming up in June?
I'm a Florida Panthers fan, diehard. I'm probably the only one in the city who's a Florida Panthers fan. Whenever I say that, I get weird looks, you know. But coming up to the draft in June, my Panthers select first because they were the worst team in the NHL this year after a good season last year. I really hope they select Seth Jones, the defenseman out of Portland. He played on the under-18 World Junior Champions of the United States. He's basically a game changer, and he's one of the only game changers in the draft, in my opinion. Personally, I don't even want them to draft him for his, you know, his play. Yeah, he plays. He's a good player, but his intangibles are what I look for. His ability to be a leader and hopefully a future captain for the Panthers if they do select him is something they need because they're missing that sort of leadership in the locker room. So, yeah, Seth Jones. And basically that's the only option I see them taking unless he gets injured or performs badly in the combine. Yeah, that's all for the draft. Now into some interesting baseball news. The stats suggest youth baseball is declining in Canada, but is that really the case in Scarborough? Observer Radio News' Taylor Griffin investigates.
According to Stats Canada, the amount of youth participating in baseball across the country has dropped drastically. In 1992, 13% of children aged 5 to 14 played ball. That number has dropped to 5% in 2005. Greg Dennis is the president of the Scarborough Stingers baseball organization. He says these stats may be true for the country as a whole, but definitely not in Scarborough.
Our baseball enrollment in Scarborough has been going up steadily the last few years. They had record amounts of kids signing up for rookie ball and T-ball house leagues the last couple of years.
Reigning Ontario Baseball Youth Coach of the Year, Frank Gallo, believes there is more opportunity to grow the game in Scarborough. He also coaches the Stingers minor peewee AAA team.
If you look at the leagues, the four leagues, they're all based out of the south part of Scarborough. And if we're going to do anything, we should really develop that area. And I find that there's a lot of ethnic groups up there, and it's just it's like raw meat up there, really. So there's so many kids. I mean, when we're playing, there's kids coming out all kinds of watching.
Dennis is hoping the Blue Jays play well this season and can back up the excitement they have built in this city. He says a successful Jays team will have an even greater effect on baseball in the area.
I know back when the Jays were World Series winners, there was a spike in enrollment in baseball across Toronto.
If Scarborough and the Blue Jays can continue to grow the game, then the next set of data released by Stats Canada may paint a different picture for youth baseball. Taylor Giffen, Observer Radio News, Scarborough.
Going back into the draft, who do you guys think the Leafs will select?
I like Kirby Reichel from Windsor. They need a center. He's fast. He'll fit right in for the Leafs.
No, I agree that the Leafs need a center. They've been looking for one for a while, but I actually think we should go for Max Domi if he's available. He's the son of Ty Domi, who has acquired more of a cult status in Toronto, and I think he's the tough centerman they need that can hopefully center a line between Kessel and Kadri or Lupul.
You think he can live up to his father's, you know, sort of, not stigma, but like, idol status that he has in Toronto?
I don't think Max is a fighter like his father was, but I'm sure if he can put the puck in the net more like a Sundin or anyone like that, I'm sure he can gain his own legacy here in Toronto.
I don't think for him, though, if he's being drafted in the first round, it should matter about how tough he is, but how many goals he can score.
Well, that's all for us here at Observer Radio News. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and have a great weekend.